WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? It is hump day. That's right, July 8th, 2015, and you are tuned into Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870. We've got a great show in store for you guys. Isaac and I actually took a trip down to Aim High Sports down in Diamonddale, Michigan to witness the Moneyball Pro-Am Summer Basketball League. It was a fun time down there. We'll recap what our eyes saw, and also it's, you know, two Spartans who actually were pretty impressive during yesterday's games. We'll also talk golf with Terry Kilday, Director of Marketing for Hawk Hollow Golf Properties. Terry will talk about the golf scene and what's going on with his Hawk Hollow Golf Properties and whether or not they have some promotions out there that you can enjoy if you have yet to get out on the golf course like me and play 18 holes, okay? And also some breaking news in the world of golf as Rory McIlroy, it has been announced that he will not participate in the Open Championship due to that injury he sustained on Saturday playing in a soccer game. Can you believe that, folks? We'll also discuss Aaron Harris, the news coming out of the wheelhouse from Michigan State men's basketball, that he has been suspended due to a certain incident that took place last week. All of that is as well as take your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. Call 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Hey, call in right now. We'll take your calls all the way out throughout this entire hour. But hey, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this July 8th. All right, ladies and gents, let's start with Aaron Harris. Michigan State basketball player Aaron Harris is suspended indefinitely after being arrested last week for driving while intoxicated. Now, Harris is facing charges of operating a vehicle while intoxicated and refusing a preliminary breath test, according to East Lansing 54B District Court records. Now, the OWI charge is a misdemeanor and comes with a maximum of 93 days in jail and a $500 fine. The Michigan State football team is number 3 in NFL.com's 15 for 15 college football power rankings, behind only number 1 Ohio State and number 2 TCU. Now, Chase Goodbread of NFL.com writes, quote, "The Spartans will be tough on defense once again, and quarterback Connor Cook will be a steady veteran presence in close games. MSU will be strong in the line of scrimmage, especially offensively, and pass rusher Shalik Calhoun will harass Big Ten quarterbacks all season." Now, the only downside, he says, is the Spartan secondary is a question mark. And in the age of quick striking spread offenses, that's the wrong place to be soft. All right, Robinson Cano smacked a walk-off single in the 11th inning as the Seattle Mariners won a slugfest against the Detroit Tigers 7-6 on Tuesday night at Safeco Field to even the 3-game series at 1 game apiece. Now, Cano's game-winning hit accounted for only 1 run scored on anything but a homer by either team. Cano went deep in the 5th. 2 innings later, Austin Jackson, how about that, with his first career grand slam. Austin Jackson never does that. And Franklin Gutierrez went back to back. All right, Clint Dempsey scored twice on headers in front of his home state fans and the United States Open defense of the CONCACAF Gold Cup title with a 2-1 victory over Honduras on Tuesday night. Now, Dempsey's goals in the 25th and 64th minutes were created by crosses from Michael Bradley wearing the captain's armband in his 100th international appearance. Now, Dempsey's big night came in the same area where the East Texas native trained as a youth, and he boasted the Americans to a 13-0 record in Gold Cup openers. All right, on Tuesday, NASCAR instructed teams they will be running a new high-drag package at Michigan International Speedway in August that will include a 9-inch spoiler with a 1-inch wicker bill, 2-inch splitter, and 43-inch radiator designed to increase drag on the cars and optimize the racing. Well, simply put, slow the cars down, and give the drivers the opportunity to slingshot at the end of the straights. Now, a heart-stoppingly wild crash occurred on the last lap of Monday morning's Colt 0400 at Daytona International Speedway. Thank goodness no one sustained serious injuries. Phil Mickelson didn't want to talk on Wednesday about a report linking him and almost $3 million of his money to a sports betting intermediary set to do jail time for admissions of money laundering. Now, speaking at Goulain Golf Club ahead of the Aberdeen Asset Management Scottish Open, Mickelson, who is not facing any criminal charges related to the investigation, seemed not pleased about the impact the report might have on how he viewed by fans and sponsors. All right, the city of New York will host a ticker tape parade for the 2015 FIFA World Cup champion U.S. Women's National Team on Friday, July 10th at 11 a.m., Now, all fans are invited to celebrate along the parade route, which will be the Canyon of Heroes along the Broadway from the Battery to City Hall. Now, a special program will be held at City Hall following the parade, and fans can visit nyc.gov/parade for the chance to attend. And Jordan Spieth, the Masters and U.S. Open champion, was in the Bahamas with his best friends to celebrate his second straight major title when they threw in a line in the water on the way back from snorkeling. Spieth got a tuna and was fighting with it for close to an hour as small sharks kept approaching to try and get the fish. And then all of a sudden, a 12-foot-long, 300-pound black-tip shark had eaten his tuna that he had hooked itself. Oh, my goodness. This is unbelievable stuff. All right. Well, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Call 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527 to weigh in on anything that we discuss here on the show. Also, you can go to Facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Without further ado, it's time to start the show.
Defense at times, but when you have close games and get down to the wire, it gets close, and then especially playoff time. As a high school coach, I wish I had this level of players playing for me, but unfortunately I don't, but we do have some good players. So really it's all about the talent level, you know, just seeing guys develop.
With a four-point game down the stretch, you had some key free throws, brother. Tell me what Matt said to you. I saw he came to you. And here he is right here.
Don't interview this dude. He played terrible today. He couldn't hit a shot. Don't interview this dude. You need to go interview Boom Man or somebody different.
Come on, guys. What'd you say to him on the line?
Just some stuff. I can't repeat it, but I was just saying some stuff to him hoping he missed, but he hit it, so I can't do anything about it.
When I'm playing against guys like Matt or Denzel or, you know, even Aaron, you know, it gets kind of competitive. You kind of take that personal, so, I mean, it makes it a little more fun.
And that is how we start the show. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Hopefully you guys are having a fantastic hump day. It is July 8th, 2015. And each and every Wednesday, you guys know that we just don't rock the mic here on WKAR's Current Sports on the radio. Of course, we're here on the air each and every weekday at 1 o'clock. But also on Wednesday, I do double duty. So I'm sitting in here suited and booted, got my dress shoes on, my dress shirt on. Not my usual pajamas that I walk in on, you know, during work because, hey, it's radio. No cameras are on you, right? But I had to look good today because this Wednesday, of course, today around 3 o'clock, I will be recording current sports TV. My guest for today's edition of that show will be Tom Minkle. We actually had Tom Minkle on the radio show last week. Tom Minkle is the head wrestling coach for Michigan State who recently announced that he will be hanging it up and retiring. So Tom will be in the house. I'm excited about it, man. He's a great guy, a very interesting guy to say the least. And, you know, to kind of, you know, let the cat out the bag. What you guys, many of you guys probably already know, those who follow Michigan State sports pretty closely, and those who follow the Michigan State wrestling program, Tom actually has some pretty interesting retirement plans, and he will be pursuing his dream of becoming a professional poker player. How about that? He actually, I believe he did compete in the World Series of Poker at one time, a long time ago, and it's always been a passion of his, so that's what he will be doing after he completes his 25th season. So it'll be after this season. He'll complete next year, and then he's saying, hey, I'm done, I'm retiring, and then he will go and try and pursue that dream of becoming a professional poker player. It's going to be interesting stuff. We'll get into the details of his poker background, as well as other interesting tidbits of what makes Tom Minkle Tom Minkle, okay? You don't want to miss that. Again, if you want to be a part of that live studio audience, all you got to do is simply go online at WKR.org, sign up online for free, and it's just simply, you know, a matter of showing up in less than 2 hours. So we'll be recording right here at our WKR-TV studios on the first floor at the Communication Arts and Sciences building right here on Michigan State's campus. So I'm always excited, man. Wednesday is always a redonkulous day, trying to balance the TV show, the radio show, planning different shoots. I mean, it is a crazy, crazy, crazy busy day, but hey, I love it. Again, folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. What you just heard was actually a few bites from yesterday's Moneyball Summer Pro-Am Basketball League, and you heard the voices of Desmond Ferguson, who was actually the head coach of the Lansing Everett boys basketball team, who has done one fantastic job with that squad. Of course, they were just so close, like a game away from winning the state championship, of course, with Trevor Manuel. He's a juggernaut, folks. One of the best players this area has ever seen. Trevor, of course, with that being his senior year last year, he is taking his talents to Oregon. How about that? The house that Phil Knight built. That's what I always like to say, right? the co-founder of Nike. You'll see Trevor playing with that team next year. But, you know, getting all the way to that pinnacle. I mean, Lansing Everett hasn't been competing for a state championship in quite some time, and Desmond has done one incredible job in making that happen. But he's also the organizer of the Moneyball Pro-Am Summer Basketball League. So Isaac, our fantastic engineer of WKR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance and I, we took a trip out there and got to see so many players just get out in the hardwood and do their thing. And it's pretty cool because there's a mix of players. I mean, you get to see, you know, players who ball out for the Michigan State men's basketball squad. You also get to see other collegiate players from Oakland University, some from Ferris. I mean, you can go on and on and on. And then also, you get to see a few players trickle in from the high school ranks. I saw Brandon Johns there from East Lansing. He was out there balling out of control. I saw a few other players from universities like Oakland, as I just mentioned. It was just really, really cool stuff. And it's free. I mean, you can't beat that. Again, they take place each and every Tuesday and Thursday at Aim High out in Diamonddale, Michigan. And you can just walk in, find a seat, and just enjoy some free basketball, man. There's nothing better than that. Isaac, how you doing, my brother?
I'm doing well. Actually, just got one of my articles out, another one today, about Seth Curry. Not Steph, Seth, and his future in the NBA. Getting some good responses so far. One was best article I've read to date. So I'm smiling
really?
Back here. That made me feel good.
You need to post that to our Facebook page, man, or tweet it out or something, man. I need to retweet that, dude. What's it about? What about Seth Curry?
Well, Seth Curry, I said in the article, I kind of said that he's been overlooked and passed on because of comparisons to his brother. Mm-hmm. Now, while he's gotten attention because of Steph Curry's success, he's also been passed up because it's like, oh, he's not as good as Steph Curry. Of course he's not, but he's still a valuable asset, and in my opinion, an NBA player. So we'll see if I'm right. But so far, I did my research. I think he'll be a good bench player in the NBA.
All right, we'll see. I mean, he won't be as good as Steph. Let's be real here. I think Steph will go down as he'll definitely go down as one of the greatest basketball players to ever play. I think the greatest shooter to ever play. That's a tough billing for Steph to live up to, man. But you know, it's got to be kind of weird. I mean, because I tell you what, Seth was a pretty good player back in the day. I mean, I remember watching him in college and saying to myself, oh, man, this kid's pretty good. But, I mean, when you have your brother as, you know, a guy who's just won an NBA Finals championship and been the league MVP, I mean, gosh, that's gotta be tough, man. I mean, of course he's happy for his brother, but I bet you there's got to be one bone in his body that says, man, I wish that was me. You know what I mean? I'm just being real. All right. Well, hey, you know, some breaking news here also. I have one extended quick hit headliner for you all that I did mention before I went to the our eight, you know, our usual eight topic list. But again, for those that didn't get to hear me, Rory McIlroy, folks, the number one golfer in the entire world, he will not be back to defend his title in the Open Championship. He announced today that a ruptured ligament in his left ankle will keep him from playing in the Open Championship at St. Andrews. Again, he injured his ankle while playing soccer with friends in Northern Ireland over the weekend. He will be the first player not to defend his Open title since Ben Hogan. Get this. Can you guess the date? When's the last time a player was not able to defend his title? Can you guess what year that occurred, Isaac?
Oh, I couldn't tell you.
Here's some food for thought for you. Since Ben Hogan back in 1954. It's been that long since someone hasn't defended their Open Championship title. Unbelievable stuff. So, man, I tell you what, it's certainly going to be a bit diluted for me when I watch the Open Championship next week, because again, you want to see the cream of the crop compete in a major, and not seeing Rory out there will certainly dampen things a bit. And that's exactly what actually Jordan Spieth had to say when the news broke about Rory being injured. But I'm interested to pick the brain of Terry Kilday, who again is the director of marketing for Hawk Hollow Golf Properties. Terry has been on the show multiple times before, and I'm interested to hear his take on the absence of Rory McIlroy and just the golf scene in general, because it's certainly changing when you see these young studs, guys like a Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, heck, even Ricky Fowler, who had a win earlier in this year. Those young guys sort of just kind of take the reins, and you're starting to see sort of the usual juggernauts that we've seen in the past, guys like Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, those type of guys just kind of just fall off. So going to be interesting stuff. You don't want to miss that around the 1:30 mark. Want to talk about the pro-am real quick, though, Isaac. I mean, you were out there, my man. What were your thoughts on what you saw?
Al, I was very impressed, not only by the names you'd expect. Bryn Forbes, first off, we heard he put on 15 pounds this offseason. It shows. He's much stronger, looks a little more explosive now. Yesterday he had an off game, but like you heard in the montage, he had a few clutch free throws, actually four in a row with the game on the line. So Bryn Forbes looking good. Matt Costello as well has gotten even more athletic, very impressive, and he was hitting his post-up shots with ease. Another player went to Lansing Eastern, Frederick Edmund. Mm-hmm. The kid's got handles, great driver, can really contort his body just to hit these tough, tough layups. So he was incredible yesterday. And then I'll save one of them for you, because I know you've got one player who you just have a man crush on. But lastly for me, Gavin Schilling, who played very well yesterday. And what I liked about Schilling's game was he didn't try to step outside his boundaries. He worked exactly how he would in a game, setting screens, getting put-back dunks, put-back layups. That's very important for him and how he'll mainly contribute to the team next season, assuming he sees a fair bit of the court.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree, man. And, you know, it's so interesting when, you know, this is my second year going to the Moneyball Pro-Am Summer League and getting a chance to watch these players. It's so interesting because you have such a mix of players. I mean, you have Michigan State men's basketball players out there working on their game. And the thing about it is, I mean, most of the time, you look on the sidelines, there is no coaching going on. I mean, there is no coach. I mean, these are guys out there just playing, ideally, pickup ball, if you want to get technical with it. I mean, they're out there. There's no really structure to it. You just go out there. You have fun. It's really loosey-goosey. And guys go out there and ball. And it's a moment that, you know, when talking with Bryn Forbes after his game, which was the first game during yesterday's roundup of three, Bryn Forbes talked about how this is a moment where all of that practice that you put in the gym that he has been working on since the beginning of spring up until this point, all that practice, he gets to put it in sort of a really relaxed game situation to sort of test out those new moves, you know, see if that jump shot is becoming more and more polished. His ball handling ability, that's something Bryn Forbes talked about that he worked on, that he has been working on and continuing is to do so throughout this summer league. And you're really starting to see, you know, guys just develop. And one of the things, what you bring up Matt Costello, it was pretty cool seeing him out there, because Matt was actually going against his teammate Bryn Forbes yesterday in the green versus purple game. And Matt Costello has developed a really nice outside shot. He actually went 2-for-4 from three-point range yesterday, and that's not something that Matt Costello is known for. He's known as a guy who's going to go down low and beat you inside. And I saw a few moves. Again, you get to catch the highlights of what we covered yesterday on this week's Current Sports TV show. I cut up a nice little montage and a highlight package of guys like Bryn Forbes and Matt Costello. And really interesting stuff because you see Matt Costello going down low, and I think his footwork has even gotten better. Now, again, you got to take this with a big grain of salt because, again, in summer pro basketball, in the summer league, I should say, you don't play any defense. There is really no defense being played. I mean, guys are going out there and it's really an offensive game. So if you like a lot of offense, the summer league Moneyball Pro-Am is for you because you'll go out there and you'll see a lot of buckets put up, a lot of crazy shots at times. But again, there is no coach. There is no real structure to it. But I tell you what, when it does come to those late game, close game situations, guys are really competing. So for me, I saw a really polished Matt Costello. He's working on an outside shot of his to become more of a dual threat type of a guy. Not just can beat you down low, but can also take you outside. And again, you bring up Bryn Forbes. Bryn Forbes is a guy, again, and it's clear. I mean, when you see Bryn Forbes, and again, I had heard about it because I've seen quotes from Tom Izzo talk about how Bryn Forbes has really advanced his game and has really put on a lot of muscle, 15 pounds to be exact. You know, you bring up 15 pounds. This isn't just 15 pounds of fat, folks. This is 15 pounds of muscle. He looks really trimmed, really chiseled, and he looks like he's ready to ball right now. But, you know, that size is going to help him when he goes against other guards in the Big Ten Conference that have girth to them. So that's going to help him out a bit. He's always been a sharp shooting guy. So we saw him knock down the three ball. Again, his shooting percentage wasn't great yesterday. But again, you know, he knocked down a few threes here and there, and he was also solid from the free throw line, a component to the entire Michigan State men's basketball team that they just simply couldn't get right last year. The free throw line was certainly their bugaboo last year, one of a few.
Oh, and the other thing with Bryn Forbes that I'd love to bring up is that those shots he took, yes, they were ill-advised and everything, but this is a tournament for nothing. This is just designed to get better. So Bryn Forbes is usually an off-ball shooter, and by that, I mean he runs off screen, he parks in the corner and shoots kickouts. He didn't do that this last game. All his threes were self-created shots on step-backs, crossovers, straight up jump shots. So those were tougher shots than he's used to, or at least a different style of shots that he's used to. So that just shows he's expanding his game, because now with Travis Trice gone, he'll have to play a little bit more of the point guard position.
Mm-hmm.
So you could see him working on those types of skills yesterday. So Bryn Forbes really has advanced a lot. I'm surprised he didn't bring back the 5'7".
Oh, yeah. Is it Nick? I think it's Nick Daniels?
No.
Who is it?
I believe it's Khalil Felder.
That's his name. Khalil Felder. I mean, he's shorter than both of you and I. We're not tall guys. You're taller than me, Isaac. But, you know, going out there, you see this little guy. I was actually talking to Kevin Gill from Channel 6 News, who was out there. And we're on the sidelines. And, you know, we're just chopping it up, you know, catching up a little bit. And all of a sudden, I see this guy just come out of nowhere, folks. And, again, he's rocking number 2. He's playing for the black team, I believe. And, again, so it is Felder. So I got the names mixed up. And, I mean, this little guy, he's like Spud Webb. I mean, he can just jump out of the gym. I saw him just throwing out a windmill dunk during warm-ups. And then there was a moment during the game where he just flies like he's Michael Jordan or something like that and blocks one guy's shot going up for a layup. I mean, his hops are absolutely unbelievable. And again, he's a player for Oakland University. I think that Greg Campy may have a gem in him.
I just tweeted out a Sports Nation – or not Sports Nation, SB Nation article about Khalil Felder.
Mm-hmm.
Great article. I read it last night. It's about – little man syndrome, this imaginary thing that really prevents a lot of players from playing basketball and playing it the way they see NBA and college athletes playing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case with Khalil.
No, so not at all.
I just tweeted that out. Anybody who wants to read it, you can go to @IsaacConstance, IsaacConstance.
Yeah.
Look that up because it's a great article. Also, just Google the kid's name because his highlight tapes are unreal.
He's correct. He's the kid can jump out of the gym. I mean, he's one of those guys that, you know, you can tell. I mean, when you go to certain, you know, games sometimes, especially in a Moneyball, or any summer league for that matter, I mean, you have guys that just, you know, you look at and are just head above heels. Just they just stand out to you. And he was one of those guys I was looking at yesterday, like, oh, my goodness. I mean, and he can drive. He can go left. He can go right. And, again, he's listed actually as 5'9". On Oakland University's website, he's not 5'9". He's like you said, he's around like 5'7" or so. And again, he can jump with the best of them. Unbelievable stuff. So I'm curious to know what other components of his game that he has. Because I saw him slash a bit, and I saw him, you know, get out on the break and do his thing. I wonder how polished his jump shot is and things of that nature. But I tell you what, he's freakishly athletic.
And now he's not just doing it in the Pro-Am League. Last year at Oakland, he averaged 18.9 points per game on 42% shooting, mm-hmm. a really solid total. Like you said, the jump shot needs to improve it a little bit, just 34%. It's not a great-looking jump shot either.
Right.
It's not something that's really pure and you'd raise your kids watching. But besides that, 7.4 assists, 18.9 points. The guy's a draft prospect. He's got a legitimate shot of either going to the NBA or at least being drafted or making a summer league team. I think he will, especially if he keeps putting up highlights like that and getting noticed.
And his stats are pretty off the chart, too. I mean, looking at an overview here, I mean, he was the 2014 Horizon League Freshman Player of the Year and Freshman All-American by College Insider.com. He was named Freshman of the Week, a league best 7 times. Led the all NCAA freshman with a league and Oakland freshman record, 212 assists. So, man, he recorded Oakland's first ever triple-double versus Detroit on February 14th of 2014. Man, that's pretty impressive stuff. So I'm looking forward to seeing. Again, Greg Campy has a gym in this guy, and I think he definitely has a shot at playing the next level if he continues his pace. But, yeah, he's one of those guys that clearly just stood out yesterday, didn't know who he was, what he looked like from a can of paint, didn't even know his name. But watching him yesterday, I'm sitting there saying, oh, my goodness. I'm going to be following this kid throughout his college career, throughout his basketball career, period, to see where he ends up. He's impressive. Very impressive.
Add to that grocery list, too. Mm-hmm. Number 5 in his assist in the whole NCAA.
Right.
Remember, this is as a sophomore as well. He's outstanding. And while you and I were interviewing Bryn Forbes, I'm not sure how you managed to answer or ask the questions because – he was just throwing down windmills, 360s in the background.
Distracting everybody. Yeah.
My mouth was gaping. It was incredible. He's amazing, and I really hope this kid gets his shot in the NBA because as a smaller player, you are such at a disadvantage. So
he's
obviously worked his butt off. He deserves every accolade and, you know, attention that he gets.
Yeah, and speaking of summer ball, I also want to shout out Brandon Dawson, who actually recorded his second double-double this week in the Orlando Pro Summer League. And he seems to be balling out of control. I actually caught some of the highlights. And, again, you'll get to see those highlights as well on this week's Current Sports TV. So Brandon Dawson, man, if he continues this and continues to put up numbers like this, he's actually worked his way into that starting lineup with the Los Angeles Clippers team for the Orlando Summer League. And he's been very, very, very impressive. So if he continues that, it's going to be hard press, for the LA Clippers to not sign him to some sort of deal as a rookie. So he's been fantastic. Really quickly, before we hit this first break, Isaac, I would be remiss if I didn't bring up, of course, some unfortunate news coming out of the wheelhouse of the Michigan State men's basketball team, and that concerns Michigan State player Aaron Harris. He is actually suspended indefinitely after an arrest early on July 1st. Now, Harris is facing charges of operating a vehicle while intoxicated and refusing a preliminary breath test. This is all according to the East Lansing 54B District Court records. Now, the OWI charge is a misdemeanor and comes with a maximum of 93 days in jail and a $500 fine. Of course, Harris is a transfer from the University of West Virginia, and he was arrested at approximately 1:55 a.m. on July 1st, a few hours after playing in the very first night of Lansing's Moneyball Pro-Am Summer League. He is scheduled to be arraigned on July 17th. Really unfortunate news here. I don't know if you saw the comment that Tom Izzo had concerning this incident, Isaac, but Tom Izzo, of course, was not pleased. Tom Izzo is a guy who prides himself on making men. When people come to play for a Tom Izzo coach program, it's not just about what you do on the basketball court. Sure, that is a big component of it. But Tom Izzo wants to see you grow as a person. Aaron Harris is a guy that I'm totally ecstatic about. Looking at his highlight tape from University of West Virginia. I mean, you talk about shooting. The kid can shoot the mess out of the basketball. He's also very athletic, can throw down windmill dunks left and right. I heard he's a pretty solid defender. The reviews on Aaron Harris coming to Michigan State are simply through the roof. And it's just unfortunate that this incident has happened that may come with some pretty serious repercussions, seeing how this thing has played out in the legal system. But this goes back to our conversation that we had about DeAndre Johnson yesterday, quarterback for Florida State. You have to know that when you play for a big institution, a Division I institution, the spotlight is on you. You have to carry yourself and conduct yourself with a blinking yellow light at all times. Very unfortunate. And I think he's underage, too. What is he? Well, he is 21 years old. He's 21 years old. So, he refused to take a breathalyzer test. So, obviously, he was drinking that night. If you're drinking, don't drive. You know, there's something called Uber nowadays. You know what I mean? Or there's taxis all around East Lansing. Why even put yourself in that position just blows my mind sometimes, Isaac.
Al, it's not – forget being an athlete. Drinking and driving is one of the worst things you can do.
It's ridiculous.
Because – you go out, you try to drive home to save $10, don't have any bad intentions. I definitely do not believe anybody who really drinks and drives is like, oh, I want to do this because it's against the law. But it's so dangerous. You can kill yourself, which is horrible. You could kill somebody just driving home with their friends, their family. You could kill everybody. Mothers Against Drunk Driving. That's MADD. It's one of the biggest national organizations in the world because so many people are killed through events like this. So forget being an athlete. This is just something he should never do. And like you said, also, this is a guy with so much potential as a basketball player. When I saw the open practice last year, he impressed me more than anybody else. He really did. His jump shot is superb. He can cut. He's very athletic. I thought his defense could use a little tuning up, but no, mm-hmm. He's a great player. So, unfortunate for MSU, but even more unfortunate for him. Hopefully he learns from it.
Quote, actions have consequences, and Aaron must face those consequences in the legal system, in the court of public opinion, and within the program. Appropriate disciplinary action will be taken as the legal system runs its course. That's just a snippet of what Tom Izzo had to say concerning the suspension of Aaron Harris. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll be chatting with Terry Kilday, the director of Hawk Hollow Golf Properties here in the area. You don't want to miss that chat and so much more. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. You know, this is a very interesting story that I'm seeing here from ESPN.com. DeAndre Jordan, of course, the Los Angeles Clippers big man, who was reportedly deciding to sign with the Dallas Mavericks. I'm seeing here an interesting story concerning DeAndre Jordan. You rarely see in sports, but the LA Clippers are actually trying to persuade DeAndre Jordan to reconsider his decision to sign with the Dallas Mavericks after Jordan verbally committed to join Dallas last week. Now, free agents are traditionally considered off limits once they strike a verbal agreement with a team during the NBA's annual moratorium period. Sources, though, said that Clippers president Doc Rivers and owner Steve Ballmer have scheduled a meeting Wednesday in Houston to make one last face-to-face pitch to Jordan in an attempt to persuade him to walk away from the four-year, 80-plus million max deal that he committed to with the Mavs instead to stay with L.A. interesting because you never see this, Isaac. You know, a guy who says, "Hey, I'm going to a team. I'm gonna sign, you know, for this amount of money for this amount of years." But then you have the former team saying, "Oh man, you know, I'm gonna make one last attempt to try and get you back." You never see that. They must really, 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 really want DeAndre Jordan back in the Clippers jersey.
This is certainly something novel in the NBA, for sure, yeah. I've heard Chris Paul and Blake Griffin are also talking up the Clippers to DeAndre Jordan. In my opinion, first off, you should honor your commitments. DeAndre Jordan committed to Dallas. It's not like he's getting screwed over with a 4-year, $80 million deal.
Mm-hmm,
he's
right.
Doing all right there. But he also left the Clippers because he wanted to be one of the main people on the team.
Yeah.
He won't be that on the Clippers, no matter where or when he comes back.
And so with that being said, he just wasn't happy, Isaac. I mean, you could see sometimes, and you know, you could just see the body language between him and Chris Paul sometimes. I mean, you remember the famous play with Chris Paul yelling at him to put the ball up? I mean, you didn't get the feeling that DeAndre Jordan was fully happy in L.A.
Of course. And, you know, he thought too much of the spotlight was on Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan, and Blake Griffin, rather, which didn't give him the opportunity to shine. In Dallas, he's got the opportunity to fill in for the shoes of Dirk Nowitzki whenever he retires. It's a great fit. He should go to Dallas. It just makes sense. Like you said, he wasn't happy in L.A. Things always look better in retrospect. So, yeah, DeAndre Jordan, go to Dallas.
There you go. All right, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call if you want to weigh in on anything that we have discussed or haven't discussed yet here on WKAR's Current Sports. But, hey, let's get to today's guest on the show. Now, I'm very interested to pick his brain and get his thoughts on this story in particular. I don't know if you guys have saw this, but literally, like, you know, moments before we hit the air today, this news broke concerning the world's best golfer, that being Rory McIlroy. Folks, he will not be back to defend his title in the Open Championship. The world's number one player announced today that a ruptured ligament in his left ankle will keep him from playing in the Open Championship at St. Andrews next week. Now, McIlroy said he injured the ankle while playing soccer with his friends in Northern Ireland over the weekend, Saturday to be exact, on July 4th. Now, he will be the first player not to defend his Open title, again, since Ben Hogan in 1954. To talk about that and the entire golf scene, we've got our man, 50 Grand, the director of marketing for Hawk Hollow Golf Properties, Terry Kilday, here on Current Sports. Terry, how you doing?
I'm great, Al. How about yourself?
I am fantastic, my man. Thanks a lot for joining me on the show today. First off, what's your reaction to this really odd Rory McIlroy injury?
Well, it's really a tough deal because, you know, golf needs these young guns that are out there right now to get the next generation really fired up. High school players and stuff want to play golf. And it looked like you were going to have a natural between McIlroy and Jordan Spieth, you know, some real battles brewing over the next, you know, especially right here with the Open, where Spieth's going for three in a row and stuff, and now, you know, Rory's going to sit, and it doesn't sound like it's going to be short term. You know, I'd be shocked if he's there for the PGA.
Right, I'm right there with you, and you know, and this brings up the discussion about, you know, how athletes conduct themselves when they're not in their profession. You know, you heard multiple times. I remember when Michael Jordan actually signed with the Chicago Bulls. He actually wanted in his contract because there are certain contracts that athletes sign to in which, you know, have certain clauses. Like, you can't do this. You can't ride a motorcycle. You can't play pickup ball here and there. But Michael was so in love with the game when he was playing, Terry, that he actually put in his contract that you have to allow me to play basketball when and where I want and really do whatever I want in the offseason. I mean, when I'm away from work, I can do whatever I want. A lot of players' contracts aren't like that. Do you think, for an athlete like Rory McIlroy's stature, that maybe something like that should be in play? Because there's a side of me that says, hey, they're still human beings at the end of the day. You know, they got to get away from the game in some leisure time. You know what I mean?
Well, I think what you just said at the end is very true. Number one, these guys are independent contractors. They're not like a member of a team, you know, except for their hangers on. You know, nobody gets hurt here where, well, it does hurt when the star's not available for the event. But, you know, he's cutting his own paycheck and he's not really you know, cutting anybody else's.
Mm-hmm.
But what you just said, you know, you can step off a curb, you know, and get hit by a bus, or step off a curb and twist your ankle. So, you know, life still, you know, he's not skydiving and doing some crazy stuff. He's just, and it wasn't even a soccer game. He was just doing a little kick around. So it's just one of those unfortunate things, in my opinion, that, hey, if you don't have some diversion, you know, golf will drive you crazy when you love it.
And, yeah.
You know, you got to get away from that or you'll beat the wife and kids and kick the dog.
That's certainly true, right? Don't even get me started on that. I'm not even a professional golfer, and I'm going through that phase every time I step out to play 18, Terry. Now, I want to talk about the emergence of a kid who's just incredible, Jordan Spieth. I mean, every time I watch this kid, it's a pleasure to watch him do what he does on a golf course. So far, of course, he's won the Masters. He's won the U.S. Open. You know, he's got a great chance now, especially with Rory McIlroy being ruled out for the Open Championship. He's got a great chance to win that possibly next week. I mean, talk about his emergence and what makes Jordan Spieth so good.
I think the biggest thing is he's just won at every level. You know, it's not like all of a sudden he's popped on the scene. You know, back when he was 13 years old and playing AJGA stuff, you know, he competed in the U.S. Junior Am and the U.S. Am. He's been the real deal right all the way up. I think the thing that separates him is, man, he's just got a golf head on his shoulders that won't stop. He makes good decisions. You know, he's 20 to 30 yards shorter than the long players out there, and he's just barely average with the rest of them, but he just thinks his way around the golf course.
And doesn't he? And you know, you talk about his head, you know, the big muscle between the ears. He doesn't get rattled. I mean, when he's competing in those respective majors or any tournament for that matter, I mean, he is so cool and calm when he's out there on the golf course. What is the key for a golfer in general to keep his head out there when he was on the course, when, you know, hey, and you know how golf is. I mean, you have your ups and downs, even when things may not seem to be going your way. And for Jordan Spieth to be that young and to have that mentality, I mean, that's not normal, is it, Derek?
Surely not. But one of the things I see, and this is just through the TV screen, you know, I don't claim to have any insight, but when he does something wrong, he gets very mad at himself for approximately 40 seconds. And then it's compartmentalized, it's gone, and he goes right out and more often than not makes an exceptional recovery or makes an exceptional play. So you can tell he's got intense fire, but Bubba Watson would be the other side. But Bubba sometimes, you know, one shot can cost him three because he gets so upset with himself. Jordan still gets upset with himself, but boy, he puts it away in a real hurry.
He certainly does. All right, I got to put you on the spot here really briefly, Terry, before we move on. Who are you choosing to win the Open Championship? I mean, it's got to be that, you know, now Jordan Spieth has got to be the clear favorite in this thing now that, of course, Rory McIlroy is ruled out, right?
I'm going to go with Dustin Johnson. And number one, I'd love to see it happen. You know, he's kind of turned his life around. But, you know, and the upsets, the heartbreaks he's had in the majors. But I he's just got a lot of game. And St. Andrews, you know, fits into a guy like him, I think, that, you know, putts well and can drive the ball where he needs to drive it.
There you go. All right. We will certainly see. All right. And you know what? Tiger Woods, of course, the Greenbrier Classic took place over the holiday weekend. Tiger, I tell you what, he you know, compared to how he has been playing so far this season, hey, this past weekend was really, you know, finished on a positive note for Tiger. He actually played, you know, his first bogey-free round in like 2 years. What do you to try and equate the status of where Tiger Woods' game is right now? I've kind of really just thrown in the towel, Terry. I don't think the Tiger Woods will ever be the Tiger Woods of old. But with, you know, seeing what he was able to do this past weekend, I will say that maybe this will be one of those moments that we look back and say, this is the point where it kind of changed for Tiger Woods. Is that too far-fetched?
No, I don't think it is. And, you know, he is fighting age a little bit. You know, you get in your 40s, you know, he's 38, I believe. You get in your 40s and the nerves start twitching. But he needs to get that self-confidence back. Al, just a moment ago, you were talking about, you know, the muscles between the ears and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not that Tiger doesn't still have a lot of golf sense, but he's lost the confidence and the swagger that he had you know, he just has a lot of self-doubt that he just never used to have. And he's got to overcome that, and winning is probably going to be the only way that does overcome it.
Yeah, that's certainly true. Folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Terry Kilday. Of course, he is the director of marketing for Hawk Hollow Golf Properties. All right, Terry, I want to talk about your properties, your golf properties in association, of course, with Hawk Hollow. What new promotions have you guys been embarking on so far this season? How has it been going for you?
Well, anytime Mother Nature cooperates, it's really been good. You know, the courses are in excellent condition. Everything's just perfect as long as we're not swimming out there and stuff. Promotions, we're doing a lot of things where we're trying to bring groups in, foursomes or anything. And so if your listeners will just check our website, there's promotions, there's online coupons, things like this. And one thing, Al, that somebody beat me up the other day and said this might be the best secret in town. Woodside, all 12 holes have now grown in. We've been playing 12 holes there for a year and a half. And your listeners need to get out and see what an incredible golf course that is and how much fun it is to play.
Oh, boy. So for those listening out there, how can they do that again? What's that website, Terry?
HawkHollow.com.
And what's the rates look like usually?
We go as low as Woodside to $16 to... You know, prime time on Eagle Eye is $95, but we've got promotions. If you get on that website, you can usually find something at a certain time of day that's going to make things work for you.
That is fantastic stuff. And you know what, Terry? This should be a crime, but I have yet to get out on the golf course so far this year. I'm going to have to hit you up, man, and maybe do 18 pretty soon here.
I'm definitely waiting for your call. I thought you'd be out there, so you need to do it. And remind your listeners that Eagle Eye is the site of the 2016 Michigan Amateur. We're very excited about that. Next June, we'll have the best amateur players in all of the state going at it.
Oh, that is fantastic stuff. Terry Kilday, director of Hawk Hollow Golf Properties here, right here in Mid-Michigan, folks. Terry, always a pleasure, my man. We'll be in touch.
Thank you. I appreciate the time.
Thank you. All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, folks, we will put a bow on this edition of Current Sports by talking about new race packages for NASCAR to try and make the sport safer. And also, Michigan State ranked number 3 in NFL.com's rankings. All of that and so much more. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We just finished up a chat with Terry Kilday. Gosh, I love having Terry on the show. I mean, he really knows his stuff. Of course, he is the director of marketing for Hawk Hollow Golf Properties here, right here in Mid-Michigan. Isaac, do you golf at all, my man?
Oh, I don't. I need to start, too. It's such a great business opportunity and way to just chill.
So it's great.
I need to start, but no, I've hit a few driving range balls, but that's about it for me.
Yeah, man, you know what? And, for the past 2 years now, golf is my number one big hobby. Absolutely love it. But again, I've been, so busy here and there. I haven't really gotten out to play 18 holes. I'll probably go to the driving range, sometime this week. But I plan on hitting up Terry this weekend and maybe playing 18. But man, it is so addicting. But it's always great talking with Terry. He has some beautiful, absolutely beautiful golf courses. Of course, my favorite in the area being Eagle Eye. I mean, Eagle Eye, if you haven't been to Eagle Eye Golf Course and golf there, you are missing out on life, folks, okay? It is a fantastic time. And some interesting perspective from Terry concerning the injury to Rory McIlroy, who, again, he injured his ankle during a soccer game on Saturday, on July 4th, playing with his boys, and he's ruled out now for the Open Championship. So now, the pendulum really shifts, in my opinion, in favor of Jordan Spieth, who just has been on a complete roll. He's won two majors, two of two majors so far this year, with the Masters and the U.S. Open, and has a chance to do so next week now to add to that list. I mean, who knows? Maybe he can, you know, maybe he can, you know, if he does win next week, maybe he can sweep everything. Maybe he can sweep every major this year, but we'll certainly see. But did you see this story? It's a very interesting story, Isaac. Yeah, Jordan Spieth, the Masters and U.S. Open champion, he was actually in the Bahamas with his best friends to celebrate his second straight major title when they threw a line in the water on the way from snorkeling. Spieth got out of tuna and was fighting with the tuna for close to an hour as small sharks kept approaching to try and get the fish, the tuna fish. Now, the battle continued until Spieth said he couldn't move his arm any longer. He took a break, he used the bathroom, and asked the captain to take over his line. And then Spieth grabbed the rod again, and then finally it surfaced, Isaac. He says, quote, "What surfaced was like a 12-foot-long, 300-pound black-tip shark that had eaten his tuna and then had hooked itself. So I guess I caught both in one because I got that shark." That's unbelievable stuff. I mean, Jordan Spieth is wrestling with a 300-pound, 12-foot-long shark in the Bahamas. That's an unbelievable story. That's like the best fishing story I've ever heard of in my life.
Can't say I've had anything close to that. The closest thing I have had, I've seen sharks up close actually several times.
What?
When my
Where?
Family and I went to the British Virgin Islands this year.
Yeah.
We went scuba diving. And scuba diving, we saw probably a 4-foot-long coral reef shark, black fin. It was amazing. But also when I was probably five, this was frightening. There was a 4-foot nurse shark that swam right by my leg. I remember it because my mom was holding my 2-year-old brother in her arm, and I was just standing there because we had heard there were sharks in the water. And then I just see this eerie looking shadow just ghost by me, just, you know,
what?
Very silently. Oh. Didn't touch me, didn't make any move, but I was amazed. I was a little bit haunted after that. So
I bet. I'm glad the thing didn't take off your leg, man. That's scary stuff, dude. You wouldn't catch me anywhere near water because the big reason being I can't swim. So, hey, yeah, if I can't stand up in the water, hey, I'm not getting in it, all right? All right, well, we got 7 minutes left, Isaac. I want to talk about NASCAR really briefly here. NASCAR actually on Tuesday announced rules packages changes for 4 of the final 9 races of the Sprint Cup regular season and left open the possibility of more in the chase for the Sprint Cup. Now, the new packages intend to stoke passing and really just produce a product the series has found at times really flat this year. And I think one of the main components as to why this change is happening, I don't know if you guys saw this out there, to all our listeners out there, but man, oh man, there was one really scary crash at the Coke Zero 400 at Daytona International Speedway on Monday morning. Thankfully, I mean, no one was injured. If you watch the highlights, you see the car fly in the air. You know, it first off, a crash happens. Then one car flies in the air. It actually hits the spectator gate. And you know, you see flames and sparks come out. Then the car, you know, falls back on the track as other cars, you know, can't avoid hitting it. You see an engine fly out of the car on one side. I mean, oh my goodness. But thank goodness that, you know, those cars that you know, these NASCAR drivers sit in, I mean, they're pretty well protected. I mean, it's like you're sitting, you know, within a cage within the car. Thank goodness for those safety measures, because without those safety measures, I mean, someone could have lost their life. Someone really could have lost their life. So I think seeing that, NASCAR has decided to say, hey, maybe we need to change some things. So, you know, on Tuesday, you know, they instructed teams that they would be, running that high drag package that would include a 9-inch spoiler with a 1-inch wicker bill, whatever that is, a 2-inch splitter, and a 43-inch radiator designed to increase drag on the cars and optimize the racing. Now, simply put, what all that fancy, you know, Joe Schmo means, it means that, you know, they're going to slow down the cars and give drivers the opportunity to slingshot at the end of straight. So they want to slow things down because they're starting to see right now that, man, these crashes can become really, really serious if they don't make some changes.
Al, I am not a big NASCAR fan, but these changes just sound like it's for the better. Like you said, reduce high-speed crashes by as much as possible. But also, the most exciting part of these races which, you know, they're driving around a circle 400 times. Not to hate on the sport. It's extremely difficult.
Right.
It's not my personal preference of how to spend a day. But slingshotting pass is definitely more exciting because I don't know about you. What I just read is that this will reduce speeds by up to 10 miles per hour, max speeds. But that's a good thing because the record for Michigan Speedway is Jeff Gordon with 205 miles per hour.
Right.
I'm not sure about you. I don't have the discerning eye to be able to distinguish between 205 and 195. I do have enough of eyesight to see when a car passes another. That's much more exciting than just all cars going fast. So, sounds like changes for the better. And if everybody is safer, that's even better.
That's even a plus, right? I certainly agree. Also, to wrap up the show here with just 4 minutes left, I want to talk about NFL.com and their college football rankings entitled 15 for 15, their top 15 teams in college football for 2015. And really cool stuff here. I don't know if you saw this, Isaac, but Michigan State is actually ranked in that ranking as number 3 in NFL.com's college power rankings, behind only number 1 Ohio State and number 2 TCU. So ideally, I mean, if those rankings come to fold, I mean, who knows? I mean, people kill me with these whole preseason rankings and preseason All-Americans. But at the end of the day, it's all speculation. You don't really know. You know, you have an idea, but you don't really know. How good the entire spectrum of the college football scene is going to play out. But hey, I mean, it's a big compliment to see that, you know, NFL.com is really giving the Spartans a lot of respect based on what they've done these past, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, to be honest with you. Now, you know, if you look at it, you know, this would mean that Michigan State could possibly make the 4-team college football playoff. I mean, if they're number 3, they would be in the 4-team playoff. But and looking at Chase Goodbread of NFL.com, he writes, the Spartans will be tough on defense once again, and quarterback Connor Cook will be a steady veteran presence in close games. MSU will be strong in the line of scrimmage, especially on offense, and pass rusher Shalik Calhoun will harass Big Ten quarterbacks all year. I'm excited about this year's college football season because I do think, I mean, the big thing was having Connor Cook and Shalik Calhoun back. Of course, they're going to be missing pieces on defense. I mean, they're missing their defensive coordinator in Pat Narduzzi. Trey Wans has taken his talents to the NFL. Tony Lippett, who was you know, had a love connection with Connor Cook all last year, he's gone to the NFL now as well. But I do think that having Connor Cook back, the guy who makes the engine run on offense, you know, being the quarterback of this squad, having him back, and then having your eminent leader on defense back in Shalik Calhoun, the Spartans are going to be a force to deal with for anyone, let alone the Big Ten Conference.
Oh, they're an outstanding team, and the recruiting class is great coming in. I think it's a well-deserved ranking for the Spartans, but I'm sure Mark D'Antonio will preach the same thing I do. Remember how you got here. With a blue-collar underdog mentality, you can't think of yourself as the favorites because you're not even the favorites in the Big Ten. Ohio State is by far the favorites. You've got a couple of hard away games. So, yes, a number 3 rating, well-deserved, but let's not put too much stock into this.
We'll see. We got to wait until the season starts. All we can do is just speculate up until this point. But, hey, the Spartans are, I mean, 2 back-to-back, you know, top 5 finishers. I mean, come on. Coach D has built a powerhouse here. All right, folks, we are unfortunately out of time, but I want to give a special, 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 special thanks to all of you out there for tuning in. Also, Terry Kilday for joining me on this edition of Current Sports. You have been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing, AM 870. As always, same time, same place tomorrow. Take care and be easy, people.